Hello, this is the Crush Monocle Podcast, the show where we talk about stuff, all the stuff. I'm your host, Coop.
I'm John, and I was on time today, which was cool, because sometimes
John's
I'm
always late.
Yeah. So, I said sometimes.
I'll edit mostly it in post.
mostly late.
Our guests this episode make up half of a supergroup of sorts, featuring members of Unsane, Cop Shoot Cop, Daughters, and Made Out of Babies. The music is dark, aggressive, and maybe even a little post-apocalyptic, blending elements of hardcore, ambient, industrial, while maintaining that organic do-it-yourself feel. Here to talk about their second album, Gone Dark, from the band Human Impact, Mr. Jim Coleman and Chris Spencer.
Hey, guys. Woo! Hey. Woo! Hey. Yeah.
So thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
How you guys doing tonight?
That's awesome.
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm hanging in there. I'm getting older, and I just went to a music festival over the weekend, so this is my chill day. I finally get to relax a little.
Oh, cool. What was the festival?
Riot Fest here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Wow, cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I didn't get beat up this time, so it was a win.
Wait. You didn't get. You got beat up last time?
No, well, the last time I saw Slayer, I got a broken jaw.
Whoa, really?
Oh, yeah, it was like a fracture in my jaw.
Wow. Into the pit? Huh?
Yes.
So I live in Salt Lake City, and they played this venue called Salt Air that isn't really in, but back in like.
I played there with them.
Or like, yes. Okay, you might have been at that show. So I have a friend that works concert production, and someone like got their ear bit.
Oh, shit.
What? They like, yeah. Like, yeah. Like someone like lost an ear.
What year was that?
What year did you open?
We did. It was like during the Undisputed.
I swear it was like late 90s.
Yeah, that's
90s,
about.
Like 1999.
That's pretty much right. Yeah, like right around there. It was the Undisputed Attitude Tour, where they said they were going to play small clubs. which are like the biggest small clubs I've ever played, you know.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, so Salt Air is like almost like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a big place. And it's crazy out there. You're like right by the Salt Lake. It's really stinky.
And it's disgusting.
Yeah, everybody drives out there. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so yeah, Chris Unsane was there. He never heard about the ear, but I heard someone.
Wow, that's nuts, man. Fuck. So,
yeah.
Thankfully, I kept both of my ears.
Oh, cool.
But broke your jaw.
Yeah, I got. I didn't want to get into the pit, but I got a little too close, and this guy just clocked me.
And for a few days,
and then I ended up going to the doctor, and they did an X-ray, and it was like just a little hairline.
Wow.
A little hairline.
At least no one like bit off your jaw.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Slayer's audience is vicious. Dom Mariah said to me, he goes, "Chris, you guys are the only band that we've toured with that no one threw anything at." And I was like, "What? Wow, that's awesome." And then I was like, "What about Lemmy?" And he goes, "Yeah, they fucking pelted Lemmy with plastic cups." You know, it was like so demeaning. You know, they're fucking throwing shit at Lemmy of all people.
Oh my god,
that is nuts. Yeah,
nope. That's unfair.
If it's not Unsane,
Well, we did this thing where we just total feedback. We didn't give anyone a chance to like say anything. Like, yeah, we just did feedback in between songs, one song into the next. We're done. Throw our shit down and leave. You know.
Yeah.
It was. We're out of there as quickly as possible, and you're kind of standing there with your guitar ready to like bonk somebody in the head with it if they get too close. You know. It was challenging. It was fun though. It was fun.
That's amazing.
It was fun too.
Very
all right,
cool.
Well, anyway,
that's awesome.
Sorry, we digress.
I might have to move out to the car. We got kind of like had to evacuate our house.
Yeah.
So I'm in a rental, but like, is it okay if I like, I'm going to jump out, go into the car, and I'll come back?
Yeah,
in.
That's fine. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
No worries.
All right, so I'll be back in.
Yeah, we can talk while you're gone.
Cool.
Yeah.
We can talk about you. It's going to be fun.
That's right. Go.
All right.
So Coop, how about this? Let's go through like our stuff that we've been listening to,
yes.
And then we can if he gets back in time.
Sounds good.
Okay. What do you guys got?
All right, John, what have you been listening to this past month?
Okay, so I have two or three things. First of all, we got an advance of the Human Impact record, and not just because you're here, Chris, but I'm literally telling that.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Chris. Wow.
I'm putting that on my list, even though, you know, you're our guest. But if you weren't our guest, you literally would be getting mentioned if we were interviewing.
Well, cool. Thank you. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. It fucking
thanks, works, man. Dude.
The new Gurriers album is cool. It's kind of post-punky, kind of. No, I guess that's the best way to describe it. Like post-punk. They're out of the UK. They're really cool. They have a super aggressive kind of vocal style, and they go pretty hard. So I would definitely check that out. The new Hello Mary dropped, which I've been listening to the singles for that one, and that's fucking cool. So if you don't know about those, that band, it's like a group of females or whatever. And they just like, they're getting more like distortion-y and kind of just like more like, I don't know, like it's dumb to say this, but like, it had like the new album has like an In Utero vibe, and I shouldn't say that, but like at the same time, like it's with soft vocals and shit over the top, like it's fucking loving that. And then this, I'm going all heavy this week. Well, actually, no, let's go somewhat nice. So the new Dummy record's cool, which it reminds me of like a live version of kind of that like post. Like electronic kind of dancey shit that was like somewhat popular like in the late like 90s to the early 2000s. But like instead of it being like kind of like contrived or whatever, like this is a live band like just doing that. So like the drums are like, it's a live drum set, and like they're producing all of these sounds kind of like at the same time. So yeah, I would check those three out. Those are my picks.
I already wrote an article because this podcast is coming a little late this month, but I wrote an article and I listed most of the stuff I've been listening to, but I'll go quick over some of them. The one thing that I listen to probably the most is a band called Mind Wars. The album's
Mind Wars?
I don't know if the album's called Five or V. I don't know, but it's kind of like thrash metal. It's kind of old school, so it's kind of like a throwback to the mid-80s kind of thrash stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like overly evil or edgelord stuff. It's just good old-fashioned, you know, thrash metal. Another one I listened to was called Read Only Memory. This is like a shoegaze, but a little bit more aggressive. So it's not really like echoey shoegaze, like My Bloody Valentine. It's
heavy
post rock kind of, you know. it's not as pretty as, you know, some of the shoegaze acts kind of have. It's still pretty good though. It still has a little bit of a hook. They don't have that many songs out. I think they're a brand new band. Check them out, and it's self-titled. It's like an EP. And one of the other things I listen to is by a band called Dead Adventurers. The album is called Bring the Guillotine, and they're like a garage rock, and I'm going to say there's like some goth elements, but it's not overly, you know, cartoony goth, but it's definitely a little edgier.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's my turn.
Sweet.
I really only got one thing. Yeah, that's your turn. New.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of old shit. But
hey.
Well, no, I mean,
hit us with the old shit though too. Like hit us with the new and then the old shit too.
Mance Lipscomb, I don't know if you've heard of him. It's like a old guy from East Texas. There's this band from Austin, these friends of mine, just sent me their new record, which it may not be out yet, but you can check it out. It's called Dim Light. And it's kind of like really noisy, swampy, less finesse kind of birthday party ish. Really, like a little more punk rockish. Awesome. But the guitar really cool. And stuff's got like swampy, kind of crazy minor, you know, riffs and shit. And the vocals are just kind of off the chain. It's funny because the guy, my friend who sent me the SoundCloud link, his name is Cooper as well.
Yeah,
I know you're actually the third Cooper. Oh, God, I know. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, the people that you're surrounded with sound like interesting people, so I guarantee we're not related.
Well, he also looks a little different. Yeah. I think he's like 6'3", you know, like psychic TV tattoo on his neck, and you know, You know, he's the coolest, sweetest guy ever. But if you saw him in a dark alley, you'd be like, oh, shit. You know, yeah. Like, oh, no, I'm turning around. Shit, yeah. Anyway.
Coop, how tall are you? Are you 6'3"?
I'm 6'3", like yeah.
Kind of a tall dude. Oh, you are? Are you 6'3"? Wow. Okay.
I have all no right. tattoos, okay. though, because I hate needles and I'm a wuss.
Oh.
Word.
Cool. Well, that can be a good thing. You know, you get to later in life, you're like, what was I thinking? You know,
I think I'd just probably be more indecisive, yeah. though. Like, man, this is going to look sick. Yeah. And then a week later, like, oh, man, I should have got that pentagram and werewolf or whatever.
pentagram and werewolf, like next to the next to the Slayer icon.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
That would keep my jaw from being broken. I guarantee it.
Yeah, dude, just tattoo like Slayer on your forehead, and then they'll just leave you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's working.
we can go
ahead if you want, because sure. Jim came in and disappeared.
Okay, we'll just keep going. He can hop in if he wants.
We'll just drag him in.
And if he doesn't have to, that's fine too. I understand life happens. How did you guys? I know you guys known each other for a million years, but how did you guys meet initially? You and Jim.
Way back in, I think maybe like 86, 87.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think maybe around there. I had this roommate. I lived with this guy, Brian Moran, also known as Blood Boy Brian Moran.
Okay, where did the nickname come from?
Well, he used to do these performances where he would go into these little tiny clubs, and we would put plastic sheeting on all the walls and all the floor and everything.
Yeah.
And I would bring in like four amps and just fucking set up this giant stack and a bunch of delays and like crazy crap and do loops and all kinds of shit and just total noise. Craziness.
Okay.
And then he would take a giant bucket of cow's blood and come out there naked.
What?
Totally nude.
What the
naked
fuck?
And just fucking pour the shit over his head and then throw it out like on people and shit. And it was just this crazy ad, but really like small places, so you couldn't get out once this
you're like
happening.
Fucking stuck.
Just yeah,
like,
you're just stuck and you're getting spattered with blood and it's just fucking a total oral, you know, like sonic, you know, craziness and just, it was really fun. It was fun doing those. So me and Brian were roommates on 11th Street in New York, 11th between B and C. And I met Jim through Brian. I think Jim was a projectionist. He could probably correct me when he gets back in or whatever. But him and Brian were friends.
I think I'm back in.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, you're here. Nice. You're in. But Brian and Jim were friends, and I met Jim, and we were kind of trouble back in the day. We used to, you know, do a lot of drugs and hang out, and we were like creative people.
Right.
But definitely degenerative, you know, degenerate. So me and Jim got along great. We hung out, you know, whenever, and he was doing some stuff like electronic stuff, and Brian kind of was doing a little bit too and stuff. But that was right before I actually technically started the band Unsane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I had been playing with Pete Shore and Charlie Andres.
Right.
I had been playing with them for a couple of years, but we hadn't thought of a name. We kind of just were playing and,
yeah,
you know, and then, and then we just sort of came out with the name and soon after, you know, I met Jim and stuff.
Yeah.
And then soon after that, he joined Cop Shoot Cop. So we were, and we ended up sharing a practice space.
I didn't know you guys shared a practice space.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Cop Shoot Cop and Pussy Galore.
Oh, no shit.
With John Spencer, right?
Yeah, yeah. John knew Charlie, our drummer. Mm-hmm. He had met him at a Billy Idol show.
nice.
Charlie met John and Christina, and they just started talking, and they got along really well. So then John asked us if he... Like, we did one show at, I think, King Tut's Wawa Hut on Avenue A way back in the day. And John was the only person there. He just kind of came by to see what was up. And then we played, and he was like, you guys will be on tour within two years. And we were like, no way, fuck that. We're not leaving the Lower East Side or, you know, Elkwood City.
Yeah.
But, sure as shit. It was about a year and a half later, we started going on tour and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, so John really helped us out initially. I mean, really, not just moral support, but, you know, let us into their practice space. and kind of give us tips on what how to approach it. Because, you know, early on, man, I had no idea. I was just fucking going to, like, the Pyramid and CBGB's with the fucking cassette tape, you know. And yeah. they, which is funny because they got to know me. Like, right. we started at CB's on a Monday night audition night.
Yeah.
You know, it was literally like we were in with eight bands. You get like half an hour, and then they write a little thing about what they think of the band, and they decide if they're going to let you have a Tuesday night opening.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, for somebody. So we really went through the whole ringer with CB's. We started Monday audition night, and by the end, we were playing Monday night headlining, selling the place out. So,
oh, shit. There you go.
Yeah, so that was a good thing. We nice. Started auditioning and then ended, you know, yeah. on the worst night of the week selling it out. So that was fun.
Fucking A, dude.
That's yeah, it was cool. But anyway, so, I digress. What's going on?
So, Jam, I bet you've heard the, like, how you and Chris met story a thousand times. Is there anything else that you would, like, add to it or that, like, he leaves out that maybe you want to throw in there?
Oh, just on that rehearsal space. I was trying to remember the name of the Pussy Galore record where the guy's kicking
down the door. Dial M. Dial M for Motherfucker.
Oh, fuck. There you go.
That's
yeah.
right. So
the guy with the that was Pete Shores, AK, our bass player. And it was a guy that John had just got to just kick it, act like he's kicking the door. But that was the door to our practice space.
Oh, cool.
Oh, shit. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Other than that, the... Yeah, Nats used to just like sleep down there.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
So, being that you guys have known each other for that long and, you know, shared space or whatever, is Human Impact the first time you've actually collaborated musically, like on tape, like where we can actually hear it? Or,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's funny because we talked about doing it. Way back
for
then,
sure.
you know, and it just kind of took us this long to, you know, for things to align.
Yeah, we really both got really super busy with our, you know, band.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Cops
yeah.
and Cop and Unsane started doing well. Cops and Cop started doing really well pretty quick.
Yeah.
We ended up just living in a van, driving around Canada and the United States, you know, getting paid $50 a show for about 8 weeks. But right. Cops and Cop did pretty well fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And... long story short, both of us ended up on tour a lot.
Yeah,
so
of course, yeah.
you know, we saw.
We were still.
Yeah.
What's that, Jim?
We were still living in the van. It wasn't like we were doing that well, but.
I thought you guys had like hotels with pools and, you know, bar service.
Eventually, we had hotels. Yeah, that was a life-changing experience.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. Well, when you guys did finally record together after waiting for so long to actually make it happen, what was it like? I mean, was that?
Yeah, that's got to be wild. Like, yeah. Like, was it just like a perfect fit, like right off the bat, or were you like you had to feel it out? Like
we had enough miles under our, you know, behind us sure. where it was like we knew it was like we had shared the same kind of, you know, ear and even ethos, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Even like kind of work ethic, you know, it was like a lot. We knew we were on solid ground, but in terms of what Human Impact was, we didn't go in. I don't think Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't really feel like we went in with like preconceived notions or even like this is what it's going to be. You know, it was kind of like a little more exploratory.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Cause you would, Jim had come to an Unsane show, in 2017 at St. Vitus and came up to me. I was like, hey, what's going on? You know, we're so good to see you. And then he was like, yeah, let's send files back and forth. So I got off that tour and we really just kind of, for me at least, it was really just like, make some shit up and just send it over and see what happens. You know what I mean? There was no preconceived idea of what it would be.
Yeah.
You know, so it took us a little while to kind of, you know, figure out what's good, what's bad. But like Jim said, we share a certain ethos and sort of, you know, sonic sensibility that, you know, that it's kind of hard to find, you know, had you not been in bands like we have been in and been friends and everything.
Right.
So, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun. And then the guys from the Swans got released. So Jim got in Chris Pavdica and Phil Paleo.
Yeah.
And they were not, apparently at the time, they were not going to be in Swans anymore. So then we started recording shit. We started doing stuff. You know, sorry, I'm kind of cutting to the future here.
No, that's fine.
But,
yes.
But after a while, me and Jim had a bunch of ideas going on with Drum Machine and shit. And then I came out to New York, and those guys were available. Jim had asked them if they wanted to do something, so they got in.
Yeah.
So that's, they were on the first record, and the EP, which is kind of a full length, but the EP yeah. came out. That was kind of earlier shit, actually. That was not.
Oh, is that so? That was like written like kind of before like the LP
before the first record. Oh yeah, shit! Yeah.
Okay.
So that was kind of some of the earlier riffs. Well, we kind of wanted the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And we kind of wanted to keep the ball rolling a little bit. And we had some shit.
Oh, you for know? Sure. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So we put that out as an EP. And not, you know, we didn't really want that to be sort of considered our sophomore effort.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's got the Swans like rhythm section on it, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. yeah. And then they got pulled back into Swans.
I know. I was going to ask you, like, what the hell? They just like, they're like, hey, we're still in your rhythm. We're still in our rhythm section bag. See ya. You know?
yeah, I know. yeah. Kind of.
You guys have like a, I don't know, like you guys are fighting. You guys, you know? like
no,
you,
no.
I'm,
I mean,
I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
No, I gotcha. But I gotcha. It's kind of like, what can you do? You know?
Yeah,
They didn't exactly feel so great about it. You know what I mean? But,
Yeah.
But then getting John and Coop, man, I gotta say that that was another fucking serious bonus during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Is that I started playing music with those two guys, you know, on a regular basis. So yeah, that kind of kicked it up a notch in terms of the live performance. You know, Chris and Phil had been super amazing and great
for sure.
In the context of like, okay, we've got some shit recorded. Let's just go in the studio and we'll see how we can get it together. You know, you don't have that much practice beforehand.
Right.
Whereas, like, with Gone Dark, we really had, like, a shit ton of time to hang out, work on shit live, and really dial it in before we even got to the studio.
That's fucking cool, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I read that you guys, like, you practiced in the Coop, the new bass player, Coop's, like, in his garage, right?
Yeah, he
was. Is that where you guys got like your in like face to face like band time or whatever to rehearse the new songs?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Coop was originally, he was building like a recording studio in there, but then needed the room off the garage, so he just kind of turned it into a big rehearsal space. But yeah, so I mean, to this day, our shit is all there. We'll kind of go there and just hang out. It's not a big house or anything, but he's got a nice spot, bunch of dogs. Cool,
nice.
Very homey.
Nice.
And you just kind of hang out and go in there for like 3 or 4 hours a day and you know, do your shit. I mean, I stayed there. So while we were doing the pre-production stuff for the record, I was able to like just kind of go in the studio and put in my headphones and fucking work on shit, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was great.
So where is everybody located? I know Jim told us where he was at, but
we're all over the place. I'm like 2 hours north of San Francisco in the Redwoods.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. On,
that's cool.
Near the Russian River.
Coop's in Austin, right? Like, or
Cooper's
Texas
in Austin. Okay, yep. Yeah. Yeah. And then John is outside of Portland, Maine.
Okay.
So he's in Maine. He was in Austin, but then he moved back to Maine.
Okay. And then Jim, you said you're in Georgia, right?
Yeah. I'm in Savannah, Georgia. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. There. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That's like, you're like, all, you know. All
I know.
Yeah.
It's almost like four corners. You know?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Yeah, meet in the middle.
Yeah, for sure.
Rehearse in Idaho or something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, rehearse next. Yeah, I'll drive up. And, you know, I live in Salt Lake City, so I'll just drive up and just kind of sit there. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
That won't be weird at all.
To be cheap.
Yeah.
I was wanting to ask you, Jim, you do a lot of electronic stuff, like the soundscapes and all that, right?
That's true.
How do you, and this is going to be like a really dumb question, but how do you start, you know, where do you start when you're making these, you know, is that something that you want to do first, or is that something you add to like, there's a riff or a structure of a song? I mean,
so
do you start it or does, you know, how's that work?
It varies. I mean, it varies a lot. So within the context, we're talking right now just within the context of Human Impact.
So
Gone Dark has like all these interstitials between songs, and those were actually highly like collaborative between Chris and I. We both brought sounds to the table. We both kind of like, you know, we're kicking stuff back and forth. So that was the both of us, you know. Within the context of songs, you know, historically, well, even on this album, it's like some of them came from like, you know, it's such a democracy, I guess, like the band, you know, Gone Dark more than others, was really kind of came, there was a strong foundation of what Chris was doing with John and Coop. So that was like, you know, there was like serious, like, you know, substance there. That was, I love that. Like, that's like, oh, I got something to work with and you know, let's see what's working. So where do I start? I don't know. It's just like, you know, I guess finding the right sound first, right? The right sound. And then that can inform whatever the melodic line or riff could be. Right. But it's got to start with the sound. Right. We don't really use any, there's no sequencing. There's no, like, you know, playback of any kind. Everything's played live, which is interesting because, I mean, well, the electronics in Human Impact can get pretty layered and thick, right? They can get pretty expansive. But everything is like, we always press that point of like, am I going to be able to play it? You know, and it's like, you know, everything. Yeah. What?
You're cutting out a little bit.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're cutting out a little bit.
Okay. That's okay. Anyway.
Just so you know, maybe go nearer, walk towards the router.
No, I'm outside the house. That's the problem.
Okay.
Anyway, things get thick and expansive, but, you know, everything's kind of played live. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And he every once in a while I'll just say to him, Jim, can I get some of that synth crack? Which strangely enough, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because he comes back and like, you know, and I'm like, wow, man, you really fucking kicked it up there. You know, that's awesome. Yeah. It's pretty funny because that term is sort of generic for about 50 different sounds at this point.
Yeah, but he knows the exact crack you want. Like,
oh, yeah, he knows in the context of the song. You know, really fucking, you know, it's going to get you. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Can I get a little more volume on the synth crack, please?
Yeah.
Can you crank up that fucking synth crack, please? You know.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. So like talk to me about like the new like rhythm section and how, like, I mean, Jim kind of touched on it, like, you know, you guys already had this energy and you're, you know, playing like old insane stuff like live and stuff like that. Like, how did that come to be? Like, I know you probably knew someone that knew someone, or, you know, you guys have played shows together, but like, how did the other John and Coop, the other John and Coop, you know, that are cooler than us, like, how did that come
about? I don't know. It's debatable. You guys are probably equally as cool. But me and Cooper are also old friends from the same neighborhood as me and Jim.
Yeah.
Like Alphabet City, Lower East Side, Manhattan. And I'd known Coop since he was like 17, I think, or something like that. And I was like, you know, 45. So I'm kidding. No, I was like 22 or something. Yeah, but anyway, but so I've known Cooper forever, and seen a shit ton of bands he's been in and everything. We're super good friends. Yeah. I had actually wanted or hoped for him to sort of join Unsane earlier on as a second guitar player.
Oh shit.
Which would have been awesome, you know, but Dave and Vinny weren't into it. The other guys who were in the Unsane at that time.
Yeah, they all about the power trio, right?
Yeah, so all about the trio. The trio. I know. Yeah. I was trying to sneak Jim in there too after Cops and Cop.
Yeah, I read that.
And that was vetoed as well. But I could have this huge expansive band. You know, I had like 20 other people I was going to bring it to. The cello player
could have been like
a banjo player.
Could have been like
all my friends in my band.
Benny Goodman.
That's right. It would have been awesome. Yeah. But, you know, so much for that dream shot down in flames. But anyway, so I've known Coop forever. And he had moved from New York down to Austin and gotten that house.
Yeah.
So cut to years and years. And I would see him in Austin all the time. I would go down there during the pandemic once lockdown happened.
Yeah.
At one point, there's this piece of land out in the National Forest in East Texas, way out in the middle of fucking nowhere, on right by a swamp, in the swamp, basically,
nice.
Where my grandfather had a piece of land with his buddies way back in, like, the 60s and shit,
yeah.
Where they used to just go crazy and drink a lot and shoot shit. but so one of his old buddies had this cabin out there that he was willing to sell super cheap. The guy was like in mid-90s and just couldn't go there anymore.
Okay.
So I basically bought a mold shack in the swamp really, really cheap during the pandemic because I had nothing else to do. I figured I'd go out there, rebuild, fix this place up, you know, fucking have this cool place out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I was out there. I was doing it. I was got a lot of shit done and stuff and kept kind of calling up Coop, hey, what are you doing? Austin's like 3.5 hours away, so I started just going to Austin on the weekends and hanging with Coop and Todd, our manager, Unsane's manager,
yeah,
got all the rights to basically all the shit back to me during that period of time. He
That's
had asked
fucking
me,
awesome,
and then hooked me up with this thing, Virtual Label, which will do distribution and, you know, satisfy all orders and everything for you. So we wanted to reissue the unreleased record. And also the first record to start, you know, yeah. We figured we'd just start with the earliest shit that hadn't come out, super short, do some demo shit on there and stuff.
Yeah.
So we had nothing to do, me and Cooper, and we were hanging out, and one night we were just talking, and it was like, hey, why don't we fucking just try doing that early Unsane shit?
Yeah.
You know, let's just try playing it for fun. So yeah. We got John in there. Coop was like, yeah, I know John. He's playing this band Daughters. You know, he's really nice, cool guy.
Yeah.
Let's just hang out during lockdown and fucking play our asses off.
Yeah.
So that's what we ended up doing. And we did a bunch. We did the old Unsane shit. And we really didn't have, you know, kind of in the back of your minds, you know, like maybe one day we play a show or something. But we weren't really thinking about that. We just wanted to play. And yeah. I had the rights to that early shit. I really enjoyed playing it. So then we got offered a show at the Lost Well, which is now closing, which sucks, in Austin, by our friend Cello. He was like, yeah, come on out. You guys should play that shit. You know, once the world started opening up.
Yeah.
He was like, you guys have been doing that shit for like a year. You know, you should come out and play a show. So we did one show. And that fucking immediately, because you know, the internet, suddenly we got a shit ton of offers to do more and more and more and more and more shit.
Right.
And I had spoken to both Dave and Vinny from Unsane and told him what I was doing.
Yeah.
And told him it was innocent and we're doing the early shit. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it becomes a big shit show with like the new Unsane lineup and blah, blah, blah. When we were really just doing the early shit. So we'll see. But it kind of, everybody was told and everybody was aware of what we were doing, but it became, then Vinny, whatever, people online are like, you know, oh, we didn't tell Vinny and he just went ahead and did all this shit. I got kind of shit on for just wanting to play music, which sucks. Right, but anyway, so
I was going to ask about that, but you just answered my question. So
yeah. It was kind of weird. I refused to even respond because it's not true. I personally called both Dave and Vinny up and told them exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, no big deal, man. It's cool. You know, no problem. Okay. And then once it starts doing well, then Vinny got very upset.
Okay.
But anyway, so then we did that shit. We did a bunch of tours and, you know, and just kind of, I don't know, toured for about 2 years on that. But then Ipecac, you know, we had more shit for Human Impact with Ipecac.
Yeah, of course.
And that just seemed like the perfect, you know, transition to go into Human Impact with John and Coop. I've been playing with them forever now at this point, you know, years.
Right.
And they were into it. At one point, well, actually, we did, I guess we did tour Unsane after we did Human Impact. Because late in the pandemic, Human Impact, we got offered like Hellfest and a tour of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Not long after Omicron. And it was like a 4-week tour or something like that. We only got to do 3 of it because Jim caught COVID and got super sick. And we had to cancel the last 6 shows.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. But we got most of the good shit, big shit done. And Coop and John, the live shows were just fucking awesome with those guys. So, you know, so it just made perfect sense to bring them in and do this new record with them, you know.
Cool.
And to me, it's it's slightly different in that it's way more based on live performance than it is on studio work. Mm. There is a lot of obviously studio shit that we do, but then you bring that to the table when you play live. You know what I mean? And you really work it out live. Like, I got a chance to do vocals live, which I don't usually always get to do, you know, with when you're recording really quickly. It's like we record it, and then, like, on the first record, we recorded it, and then Jim would even do some editing in the recording.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to accommodate the vocals, which were done later. Yeah. So this was all done in a very live, fucking powerful, strong, you know, way.
It totally, the new album totally comes across like that. Like, guys have just been like grinding on that.
Awesome. Andrew Schneider was, a big part of that, getting that sound that we wanted to. He was awesome to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew was amazing. I mean, you play the same thing over and over and over, and then, you know, he's like, do it again, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, perfect, do it again, you know? Because he wants another one of the perfect thing, but with a slightly different inflection somehow or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he'll take little pieces of the vocals where maybe my voice cracks a little bit, and he'll just use that part, you know what I mean? He really takes kind of the best shit and kind of puts it all together when you go to mix, you know.
That's fucking cool.
It's awesome. It's amazing working with Andrew. He's really I mean, for the kind of music we do, I think pretty much the best guy for the job.
Nice.
Well, now, you know, I'm sorry, rest in peace Steve Albini, you know.
We started the album recording everything on 2-inch tape, and had to abandon that after about 3 or 4 days of hardware malfunctioning.
Yeah, the tape deck just fucked up repeatedly, and we were starting to spend more time trying to fix the 24 track.
Oh, really?
Than we were recording. Yeah. So we just went ahead and just had to keep going.
So maybe, how far did you get in before you had to make that switch?
A day and a half, maybe.
Okay, so
we just realized, like, we can't keep going with this. We don't have that much time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't remember what we did. I think maybe a week and a half or something like that.
Because you guys pretty much had everything written for the most part by the time you
completely.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it's good to go in prepared. I mean, I like making shit up, but it's good to have focus what you're doing.
Well, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, we don't have the budget to go in and fuck around in the studio. You know, we have to go in knowing what we're doing. And the reality is, it's like there's, you know, both Chris and I have studios at home, so there's enough. You know, we have enough kind of exploratory time, in our home studios leading up to that.
So now that Gone Dark's just getting ready to be released, I'm not sure if that counts as a spoiler for those who have not listened to it yet. But is there like a theme with the record? Did you go in with a predetermined like lyrical theme? You know.
I mean, I'm sure it kind of seems like that, you know, because it definitely is kind of similar thematics to like overpopulation and, you know, we're all being screwed by the computer and corporations and society and stuff, you know. But not really. Like, I just kind of, the only theme I really thought of. And, you know, just was, I didn't want to do, you got to do a little bit because you want to, you know, express yourself as an individual. Yeah. But I tried to fucking stay away from like, you know, oh, my drug problem, or which I don't really have anymore. But any of my stupid problems, you know, any of that kind of shit, I really tried to think about like what all of us are looking like looking at. You know, like America right now is pretty fucked up. I mean, I think a lot of the world's getting really strangely fucked up.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't want to get into politics. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. But we're all really, it's getting like post Orwellian. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where all your banking records, your health records, everything is in this fucking database. You know, everything's like monitored and kept track of. And I feel like, as individuals, we're a bit vulnerable, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's kind of, I think we're forced to buy into this whole machine that makes things convenient and easy for people, you know? when maybe it's better, things are a little harder and you got to do shit yourself, you know?
You mean like leave your house? Like,
yeah. Like leave your house? Yeah. But in, and just the phone, you know, just use phone fucking pulled now, just, you know,
yeah.
While the reality, you know, but then I do realize like in my life, you know, if you just fucking sit down and go like, is my life fucking shitty? You know, is it that shitty? I think a lot of people would sort of say, no, it's not. It's not that shitty. Right. You know what I mean? Like, cause on the, in the media and stuff, there's all this, oh, shit is fucked up and that's fucked up. And this, you know, and it's just this kind of bombardment of sort of disinformation and manipulation to a certain extent to get us all kind of on the same page against this or that, you know? So I just feel like we're all being manipulated to a certain extent, really heavily. and that maybe thematically would you know tie into what you're saying. You know what I mean? That just I really just kind of wrote shit about stuff I see and that I kind of think about, you know, and tried to stay away from like my menial idiotic problems, you know.
It's kind of crazy though, like even like, you know, like we're not necessarily like, you know, dumping on technology, but like that's kind of how this band started with like technology, with you and like Jim being able to like share files.
Yeah, that is very true. You know, like, totally true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not like throwing a set in the envelope,
you know? Yeah, that was the old days.
You know? Yeah.
I know. The old days, you had to like sit down in a room with the other guy, you know?
Yeah. You actually had to like.
But that's kind of, you know, that's why making this record, we kind of went back to that mode, you know, that MO is.
For sure.
It is cool and it's fun to do shit remotely, but, you know, there's definitely the human touch is king.
Yeah, and I feel like, too, like, you know, just like when you know that, like, a band has sat and, like, kind of wrote in a room and, like, just, like, grinded on these songs, and then when they go and record them and they, it's usually, like, a super efficient process, like, you can hear that when you listen to an album. Like, you're like, fuck, like, they just really mic'd up. Like, they just made their band practice room sound spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, again, Andrew Schneider really, because we had that live element, but then he fucking, he set every guitar track, he put up, like, a JMP and a Vox AC-30, or, you know what I mean? He got me, we were at this place, Cedar Creek in Austin, that has all this amazing vintage equipment. And we were and, you know, I was like, oh, Andrew was like, what other amps would you want to use, you know? And it's sort of like, you know, do you use the Sun? Do you use the JMP? Do you use the Vox? And I, you know, and he was like, yeah, we use all of them. So my guitar was like running through five different amps, like a Blackface Pro Reverb, and the, you know. So there were like five amps for any given guitar track, you know, and then you can kind of pick what, which one you want to, you know, I prefer really like that Silverface Twin or Blackface, you know, late 60s Pro Reverb sound. The Pro Reverb's kind of got a little more finesse to it. The Silverface is just a jet engine that just sounds awesome. But so you can even do those two amps as well. You know what I mean? Like, and anytime you kind of want to hear what each one, it was really cool. Whatever. I won't go into the whole thing in detail, but. It's just Andrew was just inspirational in, you know, in like, well, you can have everything you want tonally, you know what I mean? And I'll let, you know, we'll just decide which one to use and which one not to. So.
Do you guys ever like think back on like all your previous, I mean, your previous bands and like recording sessions and stuff, like how different, you know, like what you just did was compared to like, you even touched on like the early Unsane stuff, like, you know, like, three amps, three different setups, three this.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like whereas before, like, we were in like Wharton Tier's basement with no, with just like these stupid little like square divider things that did zero.
Yeah.
You know? So the guitars are just like blasting into the drum kit. Yeah. And I'm doing vocals while we're playing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was that really was like, that was like Wharton Tier's basement practice space recorded. Which honestly is why we kind of needed to remaster that.
You know? Someone,
for sure.
Yeah, these that days you sense. Can get a
someone's got to come in there and hold the cymbals.
Yeah. No shit. Like, seriously. Charlie's kit was like, you know, going all over the place. And shit. It's true. He had like string holding all his stands together. Pretty funny. Yeah, pretty ass amazing. Out. You know.
So are you guys working on new stuff? Like, I thought I read that you were thinking or kind of already starting to write more stuff.
No, I've been kind of, it's really in the real fetal phase. You know, I'm just kind of taking just riffs that I'm thinking of and kind of getting going on those. You know, it's really the early versions of new shit. But we're always, you know, it's kind of part of, you know, why I love doing it is because, you know, it's like I saw something, and this is another good thing about the internet, is I saw like this quote of Rick Rubin, who had worked with all these really big bands, you know, obviously. But he was saying, like, you know, what most people should do is not think of it like your band's next big release. Just fucking go into your studio and just record shit as though it's your hobby. And you're just recording a ton of shit and just do that and then see what comes out of that. You know what I mean? Instead of because you can overthink shit so easily if you're like, oh, this, like, yeah, oh, this has got to be like, the next this and this and this. Yeah. Fuck that, man. You know, that's a hard thing to attain. You know what I mean? You it's better to just fucking, you know, just put out a bunch of shit and listen to what you've been doing and have fun with it and then figure out what is really that good. You know what I mean? Or how can you modify something to make it better? Or, you know what I mean? So it just gets the ball rolling in a way that you're not like pressured, you know? So, yeah. So I thought that Rick Rubin thing was really cool. It helps. Cause I think we're not a big band or anything, but I think if you are in a big band, I think there's a lot of pressure, you know, to that next release.
Oh,
you
yeah. Know. Yeah. I can't imagine.
I know. You got to kind of just be like, whatever, and just do your thing, you know? Yeah.
So we got another like Human Impact album coming out in like 6 months. That's what
you're saying. I think, the way things are these days, it takes a lot longer. They'll be like kind of what we did which is like little singles come out leading up to it.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, just with labels these days, it just takes longer to get shit out. Pressing plants are more backed up and there's a lot of crap going on, you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah. Makes sense.
So maybe a year.
Okay, cool. All right. Waiting patiently.
are you gonna tour this record?
Originally we were trying to do November, but it didn't seem feasible. There aren't the festivals, there's not shit going on. So I think it came through, but I think we're supposed to play Roadburn in Tilburg, which is kind of a good spot.
Hell yeah.
In April. Hell yeah. So I think, we're doing hopefully 4 weeks around that, bunch of different shit, hopefully get to London and, you know, obviously Paris and Berlin, major cities and do a month, around that whole show. Couple of the guys, I won't get too detailed about it, but a couple of the guys, that's not me and Jim, both have had, well, John had a baby a few months ago and Coop's girl is about to have a baby in January. So it's kind of good. Well, I knew when John was having a kid, it's like, you kind of want to give your friend like time with his newborn, you know,
Come on. Yeah, come on, let's go.
That's how you lose drummers, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so yes, we're touring in April.
Okay, and then
cool.
No plans yet for the States after that?
Maybe I would think so. Definitely. I mean, we gotta. Okay. We were talking about maybe doing like 3 or 4 shows in New York and around there and, you know, like Northeast and then doing like, you know, the West Coast and then maybe Midwest, Texas to Midwest, sort of Central. So we'll see. You know, it may not be the big loop, you know, all the way around from New York and out to the West Coast and back, which is sort of normal. But maybe just do like 4 or 5 along, you know, in each sort of corridor there.
I mean, I'm not asking for like a personal visit, but maybe think about Salt Lake City if you're
doing I mean, definitely. Salt Lake's cool.
We get skipped a lot. Yeah, it's so sad. I'm like, fuck, I love this band. And they're like Denver, and then they just drive through and go to Oregon. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, I like Salt Lake. I do. It's kind of funny. Cool. I mean, you might as well. If you're going to like Denver, you might as well hit Salt Lake. I mean, fucking
yeah. I've heard. So here's the thing that I've heard, and you've probably experienced this 1,000 times or whatever. But like, I've heard that the drive from Denver to like the route you take from like Denver, vice versa, or either if you're coming from Salt Lake or Denver, that like it's just fucking treacherous. Like I've heard of bands just like wrecking vans and all.
Yeah, it is kind of treacherous. But it's better, obviously, spring or summer. You know what I mean? So don't go in December, you know, January, February, which I've done a bunch. Like we did a Human Impact thing. We were supposed to play in Laramie and then Denver. And then I think it was Lincoln or something after that. Okay, but we were on 80 and we got up into the mountains. We got into Wyoming right out of Salt Lake. Yeah. And then this blizzard fucking hit, and we were driving.
So
I literally had the side window of the van open, looking out to see if I could see where the car before me had left his indentation in the snow.
And it's like -10.
It was -10, -20. It was fucking horizontal snow, you know. And we barely made it to a hotel in Casper, and we had to hold up for like 3 days. And then I had to fucking drive like 70 miles an hour on ice to get to Lincoln in time. In time to fucking play. We like pulled into Lincoln to the club, threw our shit up and played, and then, you know, whatever. But it was, we barely made it. But Denver got canceled.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a long way to say, like, I get when bands skip us sometimes. So I'm like, I wouldn't fucking do that either.
Yeah, I guess it just really depends on the time of the year, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
So we'll try and do spring after April.
Cool. Coop's spoiled. I mean, he lives in Chicago. He fucking gets every goddamn show and all the festivals.
Yeah, that's true. Chicago's cold, though, man. I got to give it, you know, Chicago, it is called the Windy City for a reason.
It's probably not much different than Canada.
most of the time. It's pretty fucking brutal, man. Really. Like I've done tours there in January, February, you know, and it can get fucking just freezing. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm wearing the mask, you know. Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's coming up here too. It was when I was at this festival last weekend, it was like 90 something degrees for the first 2 days. And then the last day, it was like in the 60s and cold rain.
Oh, shit.
You know? What the fuck? That's weird. I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. I can breathe. But now I'm freezing to death.
You got that wet, cold winter.
Yeah. So I think we probably lost Jim, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
He's here.
Oh, he is.
He's hanging out with us.
He is.
Yeah, he's here.
It seemed like his mic was off there.
Yeah, you guys can't hear me when I speak, so I'm just staying quiet. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can hear you now. You're coming in better. Yeah, you were just kind of cutting out a bunch before.
I just figured I'd just listen because it sounded like my connection was so fucked.
Yeah, no, it's better now. Seems better.
Anyway, I've been enjoying listening.
Jim's like our secret third co-host. Yeah, he's just hanging out.
I mean, he's just kind of blabbing at this point.
Well, We didn't get to ask Jim before we close it out. What have you been listening to, Jim?
Have you been listening to any new tunes or old school tunes or anything like that that you want to shout out? That's kind of what we did when we dropped off.
Oh, it is. You know, I've been listening to more electronic stuff. There's this artist named Rose with two R's. Been listening to them a bit. Some weird stuff from Tunisia. That somebody turned me on to. So I don't know. Right now, I've been kind of listening to that. So it's kind of outside the, umbrella of the kind of music we're focusing on, for sure.
I'm always every time, my favorite thing about this podcast, besides harassing bands that I love, is asking you guys what you're listening to, because I sit and take notes and pull up tabs on my computer and I'm like, oh, look this shit up later.
Hey, did anything come up for Dim Light?
Yeah, it did, but there's a band in Greece called Dim Light that kind of takes over all the search things. So I think I might
I'll let the guys know.
Yeah. Wow. So but there's
hard to come up with a new name, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone around the world hasn't taken.
I think I may have found something, but I didn't get a chance to pull it up all the way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they're competing with a band in Greece, but they've like combined dim and light into one word. So
All right. Trying to
let them know or don't.
Okay. Yeah. See, there's not even a title on this. It's just like dim light digital master. I know. I got the inside scoop on that one. Sorry, guys.
I know. Yeah.
I was hoping they'd have some shit up, though. You know, I think they're, well, I guess I already played that show, but they're doing local shit around Austin.
I want to say thank you for coming out and hanging out with us tonight. With all the technical issues and the crazy hours and the scheduling, the new record is awesome. Definitely cool. one of my favorites this year.
So good.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Good to meet you.
Yeah.
Thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, like, sure. Really, honestly, it really kind of was just like hanging out.
Good. That's how we wanted to.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So cool. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys.
Get the new record, the new Human Impact record on October 4th. And this has been the Crush Monocle podcast. I'm your host Coop. And this is my co-host Coop. John.
Ooh, Coop, John, Coop. And we're in Human Impact, but we're not. We're actually just the host of this shitty podcast.
So. Yes.
But if you look on the record, right. It looks like you are. All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.